And it's followed at 11:45 by From the Grassroots, in which we'll be considering the idea of changing our pub opening hours. From the Grassroots is at 11:45. And now, The Archers.
Good morning. You know, I had a marvellous night last night, listening to the fern owls chirring. Of course, you may not know them as fern owls, because they call them gabble ratches or goat suckers in some parts. And the naturalist calls them nightjars, so it's a bit confusing, isn't it? But whatever you call them, they're lovely birds. Proper birds of summer, because they sing their song from May till about now. And it goes on right into August some years. Mind you, if you didn't know what it was, you might not even recognise it as a song, because there isn't a melody to it. It's like a long, almost continuous roll on the drums. It can chirr on and on for 4 or 5 minutes without a break, quite quietly. But it carries a long way over the evening air, I can tell you. They call them fern owls, but they're more often found in bracken at the edge of woodland. And I was near Arkwright Hall Lake when I heard them last night. And after a bit, I was lucky enough to see one on the branch of an old oak tree. Not perching across the branch as most birds do, but sitting along it. So he was hard to define, just sticking up like a knot above the bark. He was long and slender and brown, about the size and shape of a small kestrel hawk. You know the one I mean, the hover hawk, or standing hawk as we calls them, because they hang like a kite on the wind, waiting to pounce on their prey. But instead of having a hooked beak, the fern owl has a very wide bill for catching flies and moths on the wing like a swallow. Now, I told you country folk calls him the goat sucker. Well, it's because of this very wide bill. They often seem to perch near cattle or goats at dawn or dusk, mostly to catch the flies that pester them. Now, we often seem to think the worst of folk in the country, so somebody spread the tale that the wide beak was for milking the cattle. It's a load of rubbish, of course, because really they do nothing but good. I know you got a very soft spot for them. Because being birds of the dusk, Prue and me often used to listen to them when we was courting. And I used to love listening to them when I was camping as a kid, too. So I wonder if young Adam will be lucky. He's camping out in the garden at the moment. And Brian seems to have caught the bug as well.
Chip, as big as battleships in the storm.
Brian! What on earth are you doing?
Go away!
If you're feeling chilly, we could have lit a fire indoors. You didn't have to come right out here.
I'm rediscovering my lost youth.
The poor boy. Thank you for being brought up in a tent.
Oh, I couldn't get near all afternoon. Adam and his chums had formed themselves into a terrible secret society.
Oh, wouldn't they let you join?
No. Youth can be very selfish at times.
Why have you made your fire in a hole with a biscuit tin on top?
Biscuit tin? That's an oven.
Oh, no, that accounts for the mess in the kitchen.
My eyes are dim.
There was flour, sugar, apple peel. I was just going to drag Adam out of bed and make him clear it up.
You shouldn't shout in my outdoor kitchen, darling. Huh? It makes the pastry go hard.
Anyway, what have you got in there?
Apple pie. Oh, when I was in the Scouts, I was famous for my biscuit oven pies. They even gave me a badge to throw on my shirt.
If I'd stayed in a Girl Guide for more than 2 months, I dare say I'd have got badges for all sorts of things.
No need to be jealous, darling.
Well, honestly, I just slip out for a couple of hours and the kitchen looks like the rest of the...
Rats as big as tabby cats.
You're impossible.
Yeah. Sit down and tell me how you apologised to Tony.
I didn't apologise.
What? After accusing him of playing around with sexy young milk recorders?
He needed telling.
But he only gave that girl a bite to eat, and that was over a fortnight ago.
Well, the way Uncle Walter was dropping hints on Friday, I thought she practically moved in. I suppose I did apologise.
Ah.
But only for interfering. Anyway, women who are nearly 7 months pregnant are allowed to have emotional outbursts. Probably says so in that book you've got.
Poor old Tony. He must have wondered what hit him on Friday.
No, he did rather. When he saw me tonight, he hid in the hen house and wouldn't come out.
Jenny.
Well, he did. I saw him disappear when I drove up. So I stood in the yard and shouted, Tony, dear, in my sweetest voice.
And he didn't come out?
No. But I could see his eyes peering out through the wood slats.
Yellow with fear.
Yes, that's right. Particularly when I said that if he didn't come out, I'd tell Mum about his fancy piece.
I can't think why he didn't turn the high-pressure hose on you.
Well, I was only joking. Anyway, it brought him out like a shot.
Yeah. His entire personality has been affected by having a dominating mother and two revolting elder sisters.
What do you mean, revolting? I cooked his supper for him and made three casseroles for his deep freeze. And there's a carload of dirty washing over there.
Shh. Listen.
Listen to what?
Well, I thought I heard... Yes, I think it's ready.
Brian, apple pies can't talk. Indeed, when they're made by petroleum Aldrich.
The hiss of hot apple juices. The whistle of escaping steam. It's all coming back to me.
How do you set the regulo on a biscuit tin?
That's all part of the scouting law.
Like rubbing sticks together.
That's right. Oh. Well, what do you think?
Ooh, doesn't look bad at all.
Smells good, eh?
Are we going to eat it?
Paper plates and cream behind you. There's just enough for two helping.
Ah, there you are.
Oh, quick, hide it.
Nonsense. I'm proud of my pie.
But there's not enough cream. Hello, Phil.
Dib, eh? Well, I can't say I blame you. It's a lovely evening.
Look at this. Fresh from the oven.
Oh, goodness. That's ambitious.
Sit down. Try some. Are we having anything to drink, Brian?
Will you believe I have a bottle suspended in the pond?
Won't be a sec.
Well... How's David enjoying being home?
Oh, he's always happy on the farm.
Mm.
He's just the opposite of Kenton. A weekend of our company and he was itching to get away again.
Well, it wouldn't do to have two sons fighting over Brookfield.
No, I suppose not.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks.
And if it isn't nice, say so as loudly as you can. Brian's far too big-headed.
Is the pastry all right?
Well, I haven't actually tried it yet.
Well, give him some cream, Jenny.
Oh. Oh, yes, I forgot about the cream.
Oh, delicious. Well, I only called round about the PCC meeting. Can you make Wednesday night?
Oh, I suppose. As long as it's not too early. We'll be starting the rate before long. You know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Taping over all the cracks in the combine to stop the little seeds leaking out.
Oh, well, if you will grow outlandish crops.
I'll grow anything that has a decent price. Mm-hmm. I suppose we've got to make a decision about locking the church.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. What about Colin Drury's idea of a vigilante patrol?
Well, that'll be on the agenda.
Mm.
But Dad was talking to the desk sergeant in Borchester yesterday and... Apparently, there's some sort of complication.
You should have seen the sergeant's face, Chris. He looked as if he couldn't believe his ears.
Didn't you tell him Colin Drury had suggested it?
That was the trouble. It seems the police spend a lot of time discouraging things like vigilante patrols. And when he realised that one of his own coppers had actually...
Oh, dear, is Colin in hot water?
Oh, I think he's boiled to a frazzle by now. Anyway, I'd best be off home.
Oh, I wish I knew where Paul was. He went to look over the fish hatchery about 3 hours ago.
He's still going ahead, then?
He's still keen. Don't you think it's a good idea?
No, I wouldn't know. Fish farming's supposed to be a thing of the future, but Paul's no expert.
He does learn fast.
Oh, aye, and he's a better businessman than most. Him and Jack Woolley together ought to make a winning team.
That's what I keep telling myself. They obviously won't go ahead unless they're absolutely sure it'll work.
No, of course they won't. Now, I really must make a move. Before your mum sends out a vigilante patrol to find me.
8 o'clock at the church hut, Wednesday night.
Aye, that's right.
I know you're in favour of leaving the church open, but I'm not at all sure myself. In a way, it seems like asking for trouble.
The church wardens have been asking for trouble for the last 700 or 800 years in that case. I wouldn't like to be the one who changed things.
Oh, Dad.
I tried to put the responsibility onto Richard last week. Pretended it was his decision.
Mm. Oh, here's your coat.
Oh, thanks,
love. You don't need it. It's very warm.
Ah, there's thunder about somewhere. About this fish farming idea, Chris.
Why, don't fishes like thunder?
Oh, I wouldn't know. It's just a thought that crossed my mind. If Paul and Jack Woolley go ahead, will Paul have to give up his job in Borchester?
Well, I think that's the idea.
Ah. Your mum was wondering... Seems a shame after the trouble he had getting a decent one.
I know, but... Well, you know Paul.
Aye. Well, good night, love.
Night, Dad. Oh, if you come across him lying drunk in a ditch, kick him for me, will you?
Rainbow Trout, Polly. Fresh from the tank and into the pan.
You sound just like my Sid, Mr. Johnson.
Don't tell me he's starting a fish farm.
No, but he's always coming up with bright ideas. He wanted to start an open-air restaurant called The Vinery last year.
What a splendid idea.
It was all to do with Carol Tregoran's wines.
Of course, and you realise Carol's wine would really go well with trout or crayfish. Tell Sid he must go ahead.
I'll do no such thing.
I say, excuse me.
Oh, come in.
You could call it the ticklish trout.
Oh, I can pour his sodas with a slice of orange.
Ah, hello, sir.
I thought you might be...
Oh, hello, Dad. You know, I'm sure that man's the waiter from the Pickwick Grill in Borchester.
Perhaps it's his night off.
More likely to sack him.
Aye, well, Chris will sack you if you don't get home.
It's time for a quick hop. Polly?
Won't be a sec.
Right. Dad, I had another look round the fish hatchery before it got dark. I can't understand why Jack would have let the idea drop. Those old sewage tanks are perfectly serviceable.
It wouldn't involve much financial outlay, then.
Oh, everything involves some financial outlay. But it shouldn't be too bad. You know, quite a few farmers run simple growing on operations.
Eh?
They buy small trout, fatten them in a farm pond, and sell them at the farm shop. 80 pence a pound. And there's hardly any labour involved.
I see. And that's what you'll be doing?
Well, not quite.
Well, I was thinking perhaps it could be run as a part-time operation for the first few months, so you wouldn't have to give up your job in Borchester.
Dad, I'm not playing about, you know.
I wasn't meaning
the
that you
one
should...
thing I look forward to more than anything else is getting out of farmers.
Come on, old chap. Nice lettuce leaf. Nice and crisp.
Oh, I see you're hard at it.
Oh, Brian, what's happened? Has it broken down?
No, I've just got to make a couple of phone calls.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad you've actually managed to get up, anyway.
Get up? I've seen Tommy Jacobs, fed the guinea fowl, taken the kids to the bus.
And now you're chatting to Concord.
Yeah.
What a life.
Not a very bright tortoise. Been holding this lettuce under his nose for ages, but he won't come out.
I hope you haven't been tapping his shell.
Of course I haven't.
No. I caught one of Adam's friends at it yesterday. That poor thing must have thought the heavens were exploding.
Help me up.
Come on, then. I thought you were going to see Dr. Poole today.
This afternoon.
Mm. Ankles all right, are they?
Oh, nobody's complained before.
I mean, they're not swelling. It could be the first sign of...
of toxemia. I wonder why you were peering at my feet the other night.
This is a critical month.
Yes, Brian. Is that my post?
Yes. And if it's a bill, you can pay it out of your allowance.
Who said it was a bill?
Brown envelopes usually are. I expect Dr. Poole will check your blood pressure pretty carefully and give you vitamin pills. And if he does, you make sure you take them till
you... Good heavens!
What?
Well, of all the nerve! It's from the cash and carry.
Oh, no. How much for?
It's not a bill. Cash and carry means cash and carry, doesn't it? Oh, really? Just look.
Dear madam... we are overhauling our list of cardholders and find that you are no longer eligible.
They're taking my card away.
That's a bit of a cheek. What have you done to upset them?
Me? I haven't done anything.
No longer eligible?
You know what that means. Somebody's spit on me.
Oh.
Somebody's told them I don't feed all our workers and run a bed and breakfast trade. And I bet you £5 I know who did it.
And we find that you are no longer eligible.
How do they know? How do they know I'm not giving dinner to 30 workers every day or running farm holidays, Jill?
Somebody must have told
them. Exactly.
But not Tony, Jennifer. That's ridiculous.
We had a bit of a row on Friday.
Even so. Can you imagine him phoning them and saying, my wicked sister Jennifer's got one of your cash and carry cards under false pretenses?
No, he wouldn't think of it. Or fancy paying for the phone call. He'd send a poisoned pen letter without a stamp.
You really have fallen out, haven't you?
Oh, not really. I apologise for interfering in his life and stuffed his freezer with chicken casseroles. But I can't help wondering about his character. It's always been a bit devious.
I'd have said just the opposite.
There's no smoke without fire, Jill. And he's always been a sucker for a certain type of woman.
Oh?
His eyes sparkle at the sight of red nail varnish and tight jeans. I'm surprised Pat doesn't make him wear horse blinkers when they're going to Borchester.
I'm sure he's being misjudged over this Betty Jones girl. Phil said they were just eating a quiet supper.
There are a lot of rumours floating about. Still, I know what it's like to be the victim of vicious tittle-tattle and snoopiness, don't I? Several quid a month worse off.
You can always come to the cash and carry with me.
For how long, though?
As long as you like. Oh, I know it seems unfair to take your card away, but small shopkeepers have to be protected. If everybody can go and buy groceries and household supplies at trade discount, people like Martha are going out of business.
Jill.
Then what will happen to people living by themselves? Old age pensioners. People who can't get to the cash and carry. They won't have anywhere to shop at all.
Jill, have you checked your letterbox?
What?
You're sure there isn't a little brown envelope with your name on it?
Of course there isn't.
Well, perhaps it'll come tomorrow. Aldridge comes before Archer in the alphabet.
Oh.
And even if you haven't been stabbed in the back and betrayed yet... I expect you'll want to surrender your card anyway.
Well, don't be ridiculous.
It's only to help all those old-age pensioners queuing up outside Martha's. Is there any more tea in the pot?
Yes, I think so. Oh, but they won't take my card away. I've had it for years and years.
What's Brookfield supposed to be? A hotel or a factory canteen?
I can't remember.
Worse and worse.
I don't think I actually told a lie. Cards were quite easy to get at one time. Not many people had vehicles to collect stuff, so shopkeepers weren't worried.
Shopkeepers? I wonder.
Martha wouldn't have given you away.
Perhaps she wouldn't. But she doesn't actually own the shop, does she?
But don't you see, Tom, it's a cutthroat business. Kill or be killed, eat or be eaten.
Oh,
You've got to be ruthless to survive, and I'm not sure we're being as tough as we ought to be.
Well, I know our sales of bedding out plants were disappointed.
They were disastrous. Zero growth on 76 with higher overheads. It's not good enough.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Michelle. You're a stranger.
We're kept pretty busy in the restaurant these days.
You're not complaining, I hope.
Would it make any difference if I was?
Now then, Michelle, don't be rude.
It's all right, Tom. I'm getting used to Miss Brown and her forthright New Zealand manners.
That Giuseppe's a slave driver.
Good. And where do you think you're going with that mug of tea?
It's Mr. Higgs. I'm taking it to him.
Your what?
Oh, blow me.
I don't pay you to wait hand and foot on Higgs.
It's my break. And I find him a very sympathetic person.
Meaning that I'm not.
I didn't say that. I think all men who've struggled up from the bottom of the heap have to be a bit hard. I quite admire you for it.
Yes, well, it's true. I have to fight to get where I am.
And I'm sure there's a heart of gold beating inside that rugged exterior.
Hey, now, listen, Michelle.
I mean it. I'm not sending you up, Mr. Woody.
I didn't say you were.
Well, you just take that tea digs and get back to work.
No need to be brusque, Tom. It is her break, after all.
You see, you can be nice when you try.
Well...
I told Trudy Porter, if Mr. Woody only realized how hard Giuseppe makes us work, he'd do something about it.
Like what?
I said, you must remember the days when you sold newspapers outside Birmingham Railway Station in the cold and the rain.
Oh, I do.
Well, then, you must
That's why I've hired Giuseppe to tighten things up in the restaurant. You see, I don't ever intend to sell newspapers outside New Street Station again. I'll go over the garden centre account this afternoon, Tom.
Right you are, sir.
Well, of all the mean, heartless men...
Neil's quite right, of course. I mean, it is difficult to operate split-sex feeding with a 60-sow unit.
You're still going ahead, though.
I can't afford not to. Are you going to finish those potatoes?
No, you have them. I haven't much appetite this weather.
Oh, fair enough. The thing is, hogs are greedy. They overeat and they grow fast and fat.
You want the dumplings, too?
No point in wasting them. Thanks.
I wouldn't have thought it made that much difference. If the hogs get more grub and grow bigger, you get a better price.
Well, yeah, but the gilts are suffering.
Hello? Did you find your dinner all right?
Yes, Dad. The fact is, if gilts are left to themselves, they grow faster than hogs, kill out better, and have about 3% more lean, all on the same feed allowance.
Oh, let me sit down. You couldn't breathe in the cash and carry.
Is that flat roof they've got?
Oh, I thought you went and stocked up last week.
I did, but under the circumstances...
What? Huh?
They've taken Jennifer's card away. They say she isn't eligible.
Good heavens. You mean they've caught up with her at last?
She got a letter yesterday.
So you had to go and stock up on her behalf, did you?
No, Phil, on our behalf.
What?
I bought about a year's supply of soap powder, disinfectant, canned goods, coffee...
Do you think they're going to take your card away, then?
Well, it's obvious.
Oh, nonsense. You've been going there for years.
I shouldn't have been, though. And now you're a JP.
Aye, it could look bad.
Headlines in the Echo.
Oh, Lord. Joe, when you got the card originally, what did you tell them?
I can't remember.
You didn't, well, tell some sort of silly lie.
I don't normally.
Well, no, of course not. But
I wonder how they found out about Jennifer.
Somebody must have given the game away. She suspects Jack Woolley at the moment. She says he's got a twisted sense of humour.
Oh, but he's not spiteful. Somebody must have written a poison pen letter. And I think the company should know better than to take notice of it.
It could have been, well, an innocent remark by somebody.
Dad, do you know something?
Hey? No, of course not. Oh, I expect it'll all blow over. Phil, you were saying about split-sex feeding.
Oh, never mind about that.
There's no point in worrying. Where's my lunch? In the top oven?
Yes.
You know, it seems to me that if you separate the sexes, the hogs are still going to overeat.
Oh, yes, of course, if you let them. I mean, at the moment, they push their way to the food first and guzzle it down before the poor gills have a chance. At least, that's what's behind it.
Phil, where are the dumplings?
Look, love, I'm talking.
I'm starving. There's only a bit of meat and a few carrots on the plate.
Oh, no.
You haven't eaten them all.
Oh, well...
I think I'd best get to my sheep.
You have! And the potatoes! You greedy pig!
So, you've got a new tenant, then?
All we know is he liked the cottage. Rodway and Watson are checking his references.
Yeah, well, you don't want another family like the Briggses.
I don't think there could be another family like the Briggses. Here's your ginger beer shandy.
Oh, thanks. Can I have some darts?
Yeah, sure. You're starting the evening early.
Oh, I don't fancy going home for my tea. The place is in a bit of a mess from last night.
I've heard about your wild parties.
They're not wild, not usually. But my girlfriend's brother came round with some of his mates.
Yeah, I know. We heard him.
Hmm?
And you reckon if you stay away long enough, the place will clear itself up? Is that it?
Well, it's happened before.
I don't know why Michelle puts up with it. It's not as if you're married.
Well, I suppose some blokes can handle women and some can't. It's all a question of personality.
Oh.
Mind you, I was a bit, well, timid at one time.
Never.
But when you've learned how to control pigs, I reckon you can deal with most things in life.
No. Hmm? I thought that was your bike outside.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Michelle. We were just talking about you. Yeah, and I bet Neil was saying what sort of mug he thinks I am.
Don't be daft.
I've just been back to the flat. You haven't even started to clear the place.
Yeah, all right, I was just going.
Just going to have a game of darts and leave it all to me.
Look, Michelle, if you don't like the flat, I can always find some bird or take your place. Got it?
Talk to me like that and I'll empty that beer over your head.
What?
Now look, you take him outside if you want to hit him. I don't want any rough stuff in here. I haven't the energy. Can I have a draft lager?
Half?
Please. Oh boy, have I had a rough day.
Aren't you working tonight then?
It's my night off. Oh, I'll help with the youth club if you like.
Oh, thanks.
That is, after we've cleaned the flat up and I've written an important letter.
Boyfriend in New Zealand pining away?
Not quite. I'm sick of the way the waitresses at Grey Gables are treated. So I'm doing something about it.
Here's your lager. Yeah, somebody was saying this new manager's a bit keen.
He's insane. I've asked Mr. Woolley to do something, but he won't listen. And the other girls are too frightened to say anything.
Well, I don't see what you can do by yourself.
Neither do I. That's why I'm calling in outside help. I think it's time the staff at Grey Gables joined a union.
It's obvious when you think about it. You're the only person in the village with the experience to organise things properly.
Well, that's very flattering of you, Laura.
A military operation, that's what it needs. Regular patrols through the night.
Well, a bit pointless when the church was robbed in broad daylight.
Oh, well, we'll have to keep watch during the day as well. I thought my over 60s could help there.
You're joking.
It's only a matter of keeping an eye on the place, being ready to sound the alarm.
Yes, but your over 60s can't be trusted to behave with discretion. They'd be far more likely to tear the thieves limb from limb.
They would, too. You should have seen them when the bingo caller lost his voice.
Oh, heavens. This marmalade, you're particularly fond of it.
Why? Don't you like it?
Not really. I like it more chunky.
It's the supermarket's own brand. It's good, but cheaper than your usual kind.
Yeah, false economy, I fear. And keep spooning it out in search of the odd chunk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, talking about making economies, I don't want you to think that
Oh, good heavens, I don't mind. You save a few pennies if you can, but buy yourself a new outfit at the end of the month, eh?
Well, that's not quite what I meant.
Well, I leave it all to you, Laura. Oh, now just look at the time.
Now, wait a minute.
Hmm?
We haven't settled this business of the vigilante patrols. Can I tell the PCC that you're prepared...
No, I'm sorry, but I think these things are far better left to the police. In any case, the idea that the thieves will return soon is quite absurd.
That's not what Colin Drury thinks. The patrols were his idea.
He thought better of it since.
Only because he's been got at. Oh, honestly, Freddie, I was relying on you to come up with a plan of action.
Sorry, I have nothing to suggest...
What about your experiences in the army? You were in Malaya protecting people from communists. You must have learned something.
Well, yes, now you mention it. One particular thing did prove effective.
Oh, well, go on.
The communists could only survive in the jungle by forcing the Malay villagers to hand over their rations of rice.
Yes.
We hit on the plan of boiling the rice for an entire village in a communal cookpot and then handing it out family by family.
So, you saved the communists the trouble of doing their own cooking.
No, because rice in that climate is only edible for 48 hours. We stopped the communists from building up any sort of reserve and gradually drove them out of the area.
Oh. How does that help us catch the church thieves?
It doesn't. Cheerio. Have a good meeting tonight.
It's incredible. I don't know how you had the nerve.
I only asked him why he'd take my card away.
But, love, when you're caught in the jam cupboard after lights out, you take your punishment like a man.
I'm not a man, and I was never in the fifth form at St. Monica's either. I just asked him for a straight answer.
And he told you to get lost.
He was very sympathetic, Brian.
Yeah, he didn't hand your card back.
He said if we go ahead with farm holidays, we can have one with pleasure.
Farm holidays? You didn't tell him.
Goodness, through there.
What?
In the other bar. Don't poke your head out.
Oh, it's only Tony. Shall we go through?
Look who he's with. I knew he was up to something. A little rat.
They're only having a drink, Jenny.
He told me he wouldn't see her again.
But she has to check her milk record.
Apart from that, he swore he was innocent.
Well, you're his sister. You can't really blame him, can you?
I could box his ears.
She's got a lovely grin. And big dark eyes.
Oh?
Worth half of Lager and Lime any day.
You think so?
Well, you know how it is. You look at some girls and it's impossible to imagine them, well...
Gone?
Well, other girls, it's impossible to imagine them not.
And you can tell just by looking?
Generally.
Oh.
Oh, they've got the bar menu. Are we going to join them?
I don't know.
Well, we can't just perch here watching them in the mirror.
I can't understand what she sees in him.
She's probably out for a free lunch. Come on, let's make him fall off his bar stool.
Libby, right? Got it?
No, it's Betty.
Libby, Libby, Libby.
Look, you were Betty last week. I remember quite clearly. There can't be two of you.
Libby short for Elizabeth. Oh, it was only Mike Tucker who ever called me Betty.
Now I'm confused.
Poor boy. What are you having to eat?
Oh, toasted ham. But there's no need for you.
Of course there is. When I think how you sweated over that stewing steak and filled me up on Spanish plonk.
Oi!
Do you wish to be served, miss?
Yes, please. Two rounds of toasted ham.
Brown or white bread?
Brown.
With tomato or without?
Without.
I'll see what I can do.
I know his sort. They try to trip you up with complicated questions.
I could swear he used to work at the Pickwick Grill.
Tony, good heavens.
Gracious me, just fancy.
Bumping into you here.
Oh, hello.
And Miss Jones, isn't it?
Betty, I don't know if you've met my sister.
He's got it wrong again. Oh, I keep telling him I'm called Libby by my friend.
Who are you?
Something to do with women's lib or because you're a milk recorder?
It's my name. When I was born, my brother couldn't say Elizabeth. Oh, he's only 2 years older than I am.
The other way around in our family. Tony was the baby brother with two elder sisters to look after him.
Yes, and I suffered for it. Excuse me.
Sir?
Same again here. And
gin and tonic.
Tomato juice for me. I'll be doing a stint on the combine in half an hour.
Oh, yes, of course. You started the rape harvest. Brian's filthy rich.
Oh, really?
Yes, not just a poor, struggling dairy man like me.
Don't start that again.
Cereal, sugar beet, sheep.
My brother runs a sheep farm. I go and help him sometimes.
Oh, you don't say. We've close on 600 ewes at our place.
I think sheep have a lot more characters than they're given credit for.
Some human beings have a lot less, wouldn't you say, Tony?
Eh?
Look, if you're interested in sheep and you happen to be passing her...
Yes, do call in, Libby. We're almost on the road to Willow Farm.
Thanks.
So that's where you've been this morning, checking Tony's milk for you?
No, as it happens, we just, well, bumped into each other at the cattle market.
That's £1.28, sir.
Oh, yes. Just a sec.
Well, here you are, Tony.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Take it, you silly clock.
No, I'm all right. Oh, I've got a fiver somewhere. At least I had.
Well, it's my turn. Oh, Tony, there's stuff in your pocket.
Look, take it out of this.
What?
And for the sandwiches.
Look, I'm paying for those and for the drink.
Not while I'm here, you're not, Libby.
I beg your
cheers, everybody.
I can't understand it. I put the money in my jeans pocket. What was that yesterday?
You need looking after.
Yes, doesn't it?
Did you want Worcestershire sauce in your tomato juice?
Pray, stranger, halt ere you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so shall you be. Therefore, prepare to follow me.
Pity the thieves didn't read it and take notice.
William Walton, 1745.
Aye.
Nobody had to worry about locking churches in those days.
Funnily enough, you've picked on the one year this place was locked, for a week or two at least.
Oh, really?
Aye. It's all in the old leaflet. There was a rumour that the Scottish rebels were coming this way. You know, Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Oh, yes. He's a great favourite in New Zealand, particularly round Dunedin.
No?
Nearly everybody's of Scottish extraction in those parts. But I didn't realise Bonnie Prince Charlie came to Ambridge.
He didn't, but the church wardens were so scared, They locked the place up and buried the church plate behind the vestry wall.
Yeah, we'll be doing the same thing if crime isn't brought under control in these parts. I tried to get Freddy to lend a hand, but he refused.
Vigilante patrols, you mean?
Of course. Colin Drury had the right idea. And if somebody hadn't gone chattering out of turn at Borchester Police...
I wanted to know what would happen if there was some sort of accident. You can't go organising night patrols without being ready to take responsibility.
Ah, that's just red tape.
Anyway, talking about chattering out of turn, you should be the one getting hot under the collar.
Me?
Yes. Jennifer's had her cash and carry card taken away from her. And from what you were saying the other day...
Me? But I didn't...
Are you sure, Laura?
Well, not deliberately.